Oh, I was muted. I'm so sorry. Tony, that's probably what you signed on to tell me. Jerome, you are on. I'll just have to make up my introduction later. Jerome, let's take your call. You may have to unmute your phone. That's what I failed to do. Okay, Jerome, you've come on a second time, and you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, kind of Jerry Crockle up here for my immediate extended family, for everything of our country, and for the world and the universe. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, couldn't you get more expanded than that?
Well, but you could too. But we all are expanded. But I love you and thank you. And please,
we could have gone.
Work.
Okay. We could go all the way to infinity. I love you too. And
thank you for everything.
You're so welcome. And Tony, you're on. Welcome, Tony.
I was muted. Hi. the first few minutes we did miss, which you're aware of now. So it's good to be here with everybody and good to hear your voice. We have a very interesting and energetic full moon that's going to be happening on Thursday. And that's the full moon in Scorpio. So that one's, that's coming this week. So it'll be, the sun will still be within about 10 degrees of Uranus. And the moon will have a pretty good trine, almost exact with Neptune. So both Uranus and Neptune are implicated. I feel that their influence is something that generally is very helpful and revealing. So especially when they're in a harmonious aspect to what's going on. So I sense this is something that's going to be opening things up a bit and helping us to gain insight and perhaps a bit of direction. And it's in Scorpio, the new moon, the full moon in Scorpio, so that tends to be something that favors stillness and depth.
Oh, okay. That it favors illness and death, or helps us recover from, prevent it.
So, well, stillness and depth, like as in deep, going deep. Scorpio also has connections with death and resurrection as well. But no, I meant a deep mountain lake, which is kind of the quality of the water for Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, got it. All right. Well, I'm glad we cleared it up, because I don't think we had perfect sound right there, and it could have sounded like something else.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning. One other thing I've noticed, I stayed up really late last night because I knew after about 2:30, 3 o'clock, Jupiter and Saturn should be visible from my area. And it did come up. I saw Jupiter about 2:45 a.m., and then Saturn was a little after 3. But my southeastern horizon is a bit obstructed. So most places, if you have a clear view of the southeastern horizon, probably by 2:30-ish, you should be able to see those two planets up, and they're close. So they're going to have a conjunction in December on the solstice, but they're together now. They're only like 5 degrees apart. So by the summer solstice, by the June solstice, we're going to be able to see them at somewhere closer to midnight, they'll be rising. So it's going to be fairly soon that they'll pop into the evening sky. But that's significant because this is the big Jupiter-Saturn cycle that we've been watching, and it's coming to an end and a new beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's going to be wrapping up an old epic and starting a new one. Well,
yeah.
That's kind of where we are right now, seems to me, in the world.
Yeah.
I think that, God has an interesting way of causing us to go back in the cave and think about things a little bit. So,
yeah.
That's what a lot of us have been doing.
Yeah,
well,
that does seem fortunate. You're welcome. Thank you.
For your update on the solar system, because it is our larger environment, and it brings up something. Well, I'll remind myself. I'll just give you a little teaser right now, everybody, and then I'll come back to it. I was going to talk to you about how God answers prayers and a little bit more about praying. And I should also include an announcement for those of you who don't know. If you would like to join our evening prayers during the week, they begin at 8:30 Central Time, and you just factor your own time zone in relation to that. That is Monday through Friday. We don't have them on Saturday evening, simply because we want to give people a chance to gather and have their normal social time with their family, their friends, and just relax, watch a movie, or have a late dinner, whatever. You know, just a nice Saturday night, and even God needs a day off. So that's why we have a Sabbath. And Saturday was the traditional Sabbath. It was changed because Yeshua arose from the dead on the first day of the week, which was Sunday in those days. And that became our day of worship from that point on. And virtually the Sabbath in its original experience was forgotten about. But we don't forget about it today. It's our day of R&R, our day of rest, our day of just being together, united. And I think it's okay we take a day off from prayer, because you'll probably say prayers privately anyway, and we will have our blessing on Sunday. So that's what our schedule and our agenda looks like these days. After we get a little further through the pandemic and the pressure eases up just a little bit, I will schedule a webinar. That's why I've been holding off on the webinar, because I simply cannot keep up that kind of schedule every night and also deliver a webinar over the weekends. So we're trying to get everything fitted in at the right, most appropriate time. But that will be coming soon. I think we're getting past the worst of it. We just need to be very careful. Everybody be very, very careful to still practice good hygiene and good social distancing. Wear your mask and your gloves, because we're not out of this yet. We're just easing up to see how far we can push the envelope so that we can normalize life a little bit. And in many ways, I think that's a good idea. Not just for economic reasons, not just for that. It's that when our body recognizes mental ideas of being normal, it behaves normally. The fact it's actually statistically been demonstrated that when people think they're aging, like, oh, I'm getting so old, their body conforms to that thought. People who think and behave as if they're still 35 years old could, well, maybe not look 35 years old when they're 75, but they might look 50 years old when they're 75. The body responds to what the heart and mind tells it. And so I really think a little bit of normalization will actually help, providing we maintain the healthy habits that we've cultivated over the last 2 months. And we still practice healthy preparation of food and et cetera, et cetera. Is it possible that someone is not hearing me?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Linda?
Yes?
It's
Can
Susan.
You hear me?
Yes, yes.
Hi, Susan.
How are you?
Okay.
So
oh,
I
go ahead.
What were you going to say?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I just want a blessing for my friend Jerry, who will be going through transplant, stem cell transplant for multiple myeloma. She's going to be going through a lot, and she's going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks. So, and she's young.
Oh.
So I want to put extra special prayers for her. And then Perry, who's going through, you know, cancer of some sort, some kind of treatment that he's going through. And I've been experiencing stomach issues. I don't think I've been taking food out, but I don't think it's agreeing with me. So, you know, I just want to put myself on the list as well. So,
okay, Susan, we will. And, again, just think of normalization again.
Right.
Because stress can cause an awful lot of problems. And when day after day our life is not following a normal pace, it is stressful. So I'm really in favor of easing up a little bit on the quarantine as long as we still practice healthy habits. And we're still mindful that others have to be protected and cared for. But normalization is actually an expression of faith. It really is. Worry is a destruction of faith. And I don't care how much you say you're faithful. When you worry, your faith has just gone down 10 notches.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a point for discussion, much less argument. It just is. Yeshua was telling people centuries ago, why do you worry about where your next meal will come from or where your clothes will come from? Why do you worry? The lilies of the valley are more beautiful than you are, and they don't spin, and they don't toil, and they don't worry about who's going to feed them. So he was a little bit chastising even that people would be, and they probably were doing the equivalent back then, 2,000 years ago, of where's my disability check? Where's my pension? Where's my compensation? It's just not showing up. I keep looking at my bank account every day and it's not there. I want my stimulus check. You know, in terms of their language, whatever mm-hmm. they would say then, that's exactly what they were saying. And he said, why are you so worried?
And he
would just say to them, get back to normal. Get on with normal living. And the grace of God will provide for you. So that's why I say I'm actually a little happy. Not that I'm overly optimistic that this is all over. We still have to be careful. And if it peaks back up again, don't panic. Just realize that it'll go through some ups and downs before it goes away. But we're getting into the summer, and we have a lot of scientists telling us that all viruses that they've ever known before, now this is unique, so we have to say that as a possible exception, but all other viruses they've known before are stressed virtually out of existence by the summer heat. So viruses don't tolerate heat well. Gee, I don't either. But anyway, at least I'm not a virus. I can thank God for that. Okay. So that's not all I wanted to say about prayer. I'll get onto that after I've opened the lines to Eva. Hello, Eva. You're on.
Hi, this is Eva. I would like continued blessings for my sister Naomi and her husband David. They did get her set up with hospice in her home, and have some very good care coming in. But definitely, it's a difficult situation, for her husband particularly. And, for all of us a little bit, you know, concern and want to make sure that they're doing well. As well as can be expected. She, unfortunately, is very happy whenever anybody asks her how she is. She's fine. So that's a blessing. And the other thing which I'm dealing with is swarming ants. And I know just not very long ago I read about, I know Yeshua says we can rid ourselves of pests. We have to know how to do it. I guess I don't know how because this has been going on now for several days, and we've had them before. I'm in a basement apartment, and they just come out of the baseboards, and so there's no way to really get at the nests. And I would kind of like to know how to do this, because finally I learned that I can vacuum them, which is more helpful than what I was doing before, was spraying them with a soap solution, which isn't toxic, but it is to them. And now I was having a nice, relaxing morning by the river and enjoying my time there and sat and journaled. And I came home, and my house was again infested completely, my floors and windows. And so I don't know. How do you do this, Glenda?
He left by saying that he left me with a puzzle, almost like a rubric. Cube. And what I have found through the years of trying to get all the pieces in place on that cube so that it works, and I think he did it intentionally to stretch my mind on the subject of love, because love isn't always affection. It isn't always, oh, you're so dear, come cuddle in bed with me. Okay, that's not what love always is. Love is seeing the right thing done in the right way for the right form of life. And the right place for a rattlesnake is out in the desert. And by loving the rattlesnakes, I give the rattlesnakes companionship in loving little mice that God has provided for him, for them, if they will just go find them. It's kind of like telling your little, handing a ball to your little boy and saying, now, go to the baseball field and go play and love playing with your ball. In other words, love what the ants love and let them know it's not here. I love you. I want you to have a happy life. Now go find where the water is that you need, where the food is you need. It's not here. I feel so sorry for you being here. It's really not good for you being here. In other words, genuinely have compassion for the ant, not affection, compassion. And I found that it worked. Now, I can't do this all the time, but at one point in my life, you could actually have called me a fly whisperer.
I learned
that I could call the fly. I could extend a finger, mm-hmm. and I could see a fly in my home and say, you poor thing, you can't survive here. Come get on my finger and I'll take you outside. And they would come land on my finger and I would take them outside.
Yes, I remember that story. That's very, very fascinating. So that
really, but I broke it. I broke the story, and it didn't work. When one time we were going to have guests come over, and we had too many flies in the house, and I got out of fly swatter. And after that, they never trusted me again. So that's an example of let's put it this way, using love to get life to its proper place.
Yeah, unfortunately, these are underneath the house.
Yeah.
And they're doing their normal thing, which is swarm, which is their mating process. But instead of being able to swarm outside, they find all the cracks and do it inside, which is not where I want them to be. And
no, here's what I learned, which sometimes helps. It frequently helps. And that is I give them a warning. And I say, you know, you are God's creatures and he loves you. I know he wants you to live. And there's going to be extermination in this house tomorrow. I suggest you go somewhere else. And then I give them, as a warning, I get out my hair dryer and I give them a hot blast of air, which actually doesn't kill them, but it scares them, because what they're really looking for is coolness and moisture. So I combine that with my animals are very telepathic, by the way. They don't have verbal language, so they make up for it by being telepathic. And you probably heard my story several times about the cat jumping up when he thought I was going to be combing him. They pick up your thoughts. And so you have to organize or stratify your progressions of love so that they match reality. And they will respond. If you get it right, they'll get it right. Let's put it that way. We just are so used to thinking about love being a force that pulls things toward us, closer to us, that when we apply that, it doesn't work, of course. We don't want the fire ants closer to us. We want them out in nature doing the business God created them to do.
Unfortunately, these aren't fire ants. They're citronella ants, which are harmless.
Okay.
But they're just a nuisance, a big nuisance, because I don't want them all in my house. What I don't like about exterminators is because they use such terribly toxic things.
They do.
You know, like we could get an exterminator and they'd put all stuff all around our house, I suppose. But those things are so toxic for the environment, which I don't like to destroy the environment by doing that.
I know. Well, here's another thing. Love the earth and ask the love to take her ants where they belong. In other words, there's many ways you can use love.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned the long way, 20 years of going over this teaching, love the ants away. Okay. How does that work? Well, mm-hmm. I went through lots of gyrations and lots of attempts moving the cubes of Rubik's cube around on that thought. And I did find lots of ways that work. And I can't say I'm a master of it yet, but I've had some success. Sometimes mm-hmm. I love the earth so much I just tell her how beautiful her ants are. Can she find a place where they truly belong? Because, you know, I love her and I don't love them.
Yeah.
Sometimes, okay.
Yeah.
And
maybe a blessing from my house would be helpful.
So think about the different ways you could approach love.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. My daughter always says, she says she'll love them where they belong.
Yeah. And remember, ultimately, it's unconditional love that works. And unconditional love means I want you to be wherever you belong, and I want you to be happy. I want you to find a place where you'll be happy, and that isn't here. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Nancy, you are on.
Hello, Glenda. I just have
Hello. A
little suggestion for Eva. I struggle with bugs, too, and have tried to love them out of my home, and I'm still working on that. Sometimes I catch them and send them outside, but she has too many for that. But what I found is ants don't like seeds. The essential oil or medieval miracle. I have a bottle of cleaning solution that's based on seeds. And if you spray it on your countertops, when I do that, I don't see ants. She might try spraying on her baseboards, and maybe they'll smell it. I don't know how it works, but maybe they'll smell it and say, ooh, this isn't for me. So I hope.
Well, also, we have one called Love the Bugs Away.
Ah.
And,
okay.
Yeah, that's right. We have, and that's mainly directed toward flying insects. But it may work with ants as well. It's worth a try.
It is. But you have to mix
medieval
it.
Medieval miracle works.
Water.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Yeah. They don't
medieval
like.
Medieval miracle works. No,
the,
they don't.
Yeah. I wish you luck. I hope you can bless the ants and give them a smell they don't like so they run the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, by getting them out of a place where they will be harmed, you are loving them.
Yeah.
So it's tough love, but it's still love.
Yeah. And hopefully it will work for her. It works for me.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great suggestion. Okay, Sarah, you're on. Thanks for being so patient.
Oh, yes. Aloha, Glenda, and this beautiful community. I feel so blessed to be here. And I just wanted to ask a special blessing for my brother, Tristan. He has a birthday today. And for all who are celebrating birthdays. And he's actually the one who gave me Love Without End. And a special blessing for my mom, Kathy, and for her labor and love as a mother, and all mothers in their love and in their sacred labor. And I wanted to ask, and just my brother, he's a beautiful artist. So a blessing for him to be able to receive the given flow of resources from his art, and for all artists that way, may they make their living from their art, may they be in that flow. And finally, a blessing for me and for all of us who, there's so much I've learned in this time about ways that I love having this lifestyle of more slow and more at home, and I want to find ways to bring that in and to design different parts of my life this way that allow me to be at home. And it's been so nurturing. So may we learn ways to creatively design our lives.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's such a sweet blessing. Okay, well, Sarah, as always, and definitely blessings for you. And you reminded me also to invite your moms next Sunday to our blessing call. It's Mother's Day. So moms, be here and invite your mothers. We're going to do a special blessing for them, a special prayer for our mothers and our Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. And all of those who have stepped in to this crisis to adopt so many to mother, getting us all through this. We needed to have a lot more mothers all of a sudden. So I consider this to be a very, very special Mother's Day. Of course, next week. I'm not talking about today. But one of the things I did want to talk about, because it has to do with a blessing, it has to do with the with our prayers and how we receive them. One of the things I'm constantly reminded of and careful to remind others of is that our prayers have already been answered. We just haven't learned how to receive them. So really, a very big part of every prayer should be, thank you. Thank you for prayers you've already answered. I pray that you would direct my attention to direct and receive all the blessings that have been given, because it really gets down to what Yeshua said. Well, I say all of these things. There is nothing hidden in my message, but not everybody has eyes to see or ears to hear. And this is why we go back to the Bible, we read it and reread it and we reread it. And every time we go back, we hear something else. Because the same with Love Without End, same with many other books of wisdom. We read it. It opens up parts of our mind that were not there before. So we go back again and we read something. It's like, they revised this book. Doggone it, that wasn't there before. I know it wasn't there before. You know, well, that's just the way we are. It's how we grow. It's how we become all that we are. Well, there's another element to blessings and prayer. Now, I want to specifically target this on prayer first, because I think it's going to make a lot more sense to you being targeted on prayer, because on blessings, I think you expect to grow into them. I think you kind of expect that they will be unfolded sequentially as we build into them. We're ready for them as we accumulate more of the blessing. Okay, but I want to talk about prayer. In his teaching, Yeshua says, you can ask for anything and it will be given. And I'm reading that and saying, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, it will be given. Okay, I'm going to pray for a Rolls Royce. And I walk out to my driveway and it's not there. I said, see, you just gave us a partial truth. And he'll talk back to me and he'll say, how much do you want that Rolls Royce? And I'll say, well, I was testing God. And Yeshua will say, shame on you. That's a good way to undermine your faith in prayer. Or I could have responded and said, I really, really do want that Rolls Royce. And he would say, okay, here's how you're going to get it. You're going to go to driving school and you're going to get a chauffeur's license. And you're going to start by getting a job as a chauffeur for someone who owns a Rolls Royce. You're going to learn to drive that Rolls Royce. You're going to make that Rolls Royce unique and symbiotic with you. And I'll say, okay. And then you're going to come up with some suggestions for the owner of the Rolls Royce, how he or she might put that Rolls to a greater benefit of more people. Then you're not build a business around that Rolls. And that owner's going to let you buy out that business on terms. And you've got a Rolls Royce. And I would say, wow, So that's how it works? And he said, actually, it's how it always works, Glenda, because God does not work out of a context. Everything for God is in a context. All of creation is in a context. God did not create an eastern bluebird and put it on the Sahara Desert. God did not create a fish and put it to live in a tree. Everything is part of its context for life. So whatever you pray for the entirety of the context in which it belongs. You want $1 million? Think about how you can go count what money you've got right there and see how you can multiply it. And then multiply that and multiply that until you've got a little nest egg for investment, how you can make the very best investment. And if you've, and I said, well, Yeshua, I could do that myself. Then what's the value of prayer? The value of prayer, he said, is you couldn't do it yourself. You would give up. And you wouldn't think about the right investment. You wouldn't be guided. You wouldn't have the courage. You wouldn't have the insight. You see, you partner with God on the answering of prayers. And this is why you have to really mean it. You have to really mean it so that you're willing to partner with God on those prayers. And you can't have a better partner than God. And he said, do you remember when you were just 3 years old, you prayed to be an artist, and God partnered with you every year of your life, and here I am. Your prayer was answered, and it will flourish and support and glorify your life to the end of your life. Because God was your partner. God is your ultimate prayer partner. What you do when you pray is you're inviting a prayer partner. And you're inviting the best. The only one that really matters, that can really, really do something for you. But one of the reasons it helps to have human prayer partners or blessing givers is because we put our prayer and our blessing into the symphony of human energy. In other words, let's just say we're playing a flute. Well, we bring an oboe in and a drum and a piano and a harp. And together, our human prayer partners, our blessing partners, we build a symphony, and then God becomes the conductor of that symphony. See? We always work together. This is why Yeshua said to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love God with all your heart, because you're going to work together to make your life the very best it can be. You pray for an illness to be healed. Well, sometimes it's already ready to be healed, and all you had to do is ask in order to receive the healing that's already been given. But sometimes the prayer for healing involves now you know where to go to find the right person to help you. Instead of selecting the wrong person, you'll select the right person. You know how to take the right medicine or the right supplement or the right therapeutic protocol. Whereas before, you might have made a wrong turn. And you will put it all together in a symphony that has a result. The way we put together all the blessings in sequence brings us to the culmination of that for which we pray. You see, we're praying for a result when we pray. We don't pray for the process, but you can't ignore the process. In some cases, that process has already been taken care of. It could be that last week you played the lottery and you didn't realize you won. You hadn't looked because you never win, so why should I look this week? But this week you're just led to pray for $1 million. And then you go and you say, oh my gosh, my prayer was just answered. No, it was already answered, which is why you prayed for $1 million. You see, there's always teamwork involved. Sometimes we just don't think to pray until the prayer is already sitting in our face. But most of the time we pray, then we get busy with our number one prayer partner, which is God and the Holy Spirit and Yeshua. And then those who join us in our life. And it's important to have other people pray with you, or at least know what you're praying for, so they can join you. You know, a one-instrument symphony doesn't sound as good as a 20-instrument symphony. So, this is why we come together on Sundays. This is why we have blessing givers. And they join me. The blessing is not from me. The blessing is actually, ultimately, from God, through the Holy Spirit, through Yeshua, sent to my satellite dish, which converts it into human frequency, and joined by other blessing givers so that we multiply it at the human frequency level, and then you join it, and you join the symphony. And that's why when the blessing is given, you need to just let it play out for a little while. Don't just run off, get in the car, and go get a hamburger. You know, don't just run off and go take a shower and say, okay, well, that's over. No, it's not over. Let there be a follow through. If you ever played any kind of sport, you know, this could be baseball or badminton, doesn't matter. When you hit the ball, that racket or that bat has to continue following through. Otherwise, you will interrupt the momentum of what you just hurled into space. If you're a runner, you don't cross the finish line and then just stop. Actually, you would injure your body if you did. You keep running. You cross the finish line. You want to cross the finish line at top speed. And then you want to take your time moving down, down, down until you're walking. And then you walk for a while. Okay, same thing. Don't rush out of this. This is energetic. This is energy moving into you and through you to activate potential already existing in your life and already existing around your life. Remember what I said about a context. It's always in a context. Always. Always in a context. Never out of a context. It just doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't. Everything God creates is in a context. Look at the creation of the universe. First, the great explosion. He didn't create a single thing. He created everything. And then he began to organize the everything into different contexts. The infinite context of the firmament. The context of the stars and the planet. The context of a living earth. Then the context of life. The context of the herbal life of trees and plants. And then the context of animal life. And then the context of human life. Which he said, now that began as one, but it didn't stay as one. No, it didn't. It just, it was a model. And he breathed life into the model. And then created a mate so that he wouldn't be alone. In other words, there had to be a context. And then he said, go forth and multiply, expanding the context. Okay? Expanding the context. We're not going to get out of this coronavirus until we understand the context of life in which it started, which our humanity is hosting. We are hosting this virus, like it or not, we are. And we have to understand what is it about us that is hosting this virus. Is it something chemical? Is it something environmental? Is it something chemical? Is it something spiritual? Is it something karmic? And that could be as well. Is it a vast human connect web that we have allowed to grow dysfunctional? That could easily be it. Through not caring for one another, not playing nice with one another. Okay, so the web of the human family gets knots and breaks in it. Okay, and viruses come through and then start to infect the entire web of life. Okay, but the answer will, the cause will be contextual. We already know that. That's why we have quarantine. Because we know it is contextual. Learn from that. Realize that. It's not a single, just you or just me situation. Like, it's not. Even if you got a broken leg, there's a reason for it. You tripped and fell on the ground, or you were in an auto accident. There's a context in which that happened. Okay? It's all contextual. You tripped and fell on the ground. What is your family, your loved one, or your neighbor going to do next? They're going to fix what caused you to fall so you don't do it again. In other words, repair the context. The mistake we make in trying to find the answer to our prayer or solve our problems or get our blessing prematurely is we fail to take into proper mindfulness the context in which it all has to exist. Therein you find the answer. And this is why we come together. This is why communities are necessary for healing, for spiritual growth, for learning. Okay. I think it's time we got into our blessing for today. I made my point. And I just get a huge feeling that you got it. You said, okay, I got it. I'm here. Let's get ready. Let's let this be a big one. Okay. For everyone on the list. And everyone not on the list, because we're all in this together. Okay? I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua. everybody else, just, well, blessing givers stand with me, but everybody else is going to receive, just get comfortable. There's nothing you have to do. Just get comfortable. Relax your mind and your heart. Let the spirit fall into the depths of your being, into the gentle hands of God, and say, oh Lord, I am here. I am here to receive your love, your care, and all that you have to give me. And I will say my prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, most of all, I want to thank you for coming here. You didn't have to do that, but you did. You came here to call all of us humans back together as a family. We had diversified too much to the point that one group was judging another. One group was terrorizing another. One group was punishing another and judging another, and we were not getting along. And you came to tell us, hey, wake up. You're one family. Come back together. You're not going to get out of this alone. Thank you for coming here to tell us that, and for coming back again and again and again to tell us that. Help us to see that message in this pandemic that we are walking through, that we finally learn what you came to teach us, that we're all in this together, that we need to help one another. We need to be here for one another. And in that, we will find our, not just our salvation, but our triumph, our transformation, our elevation to a higher level where we don't even need to say we're all together because it's so obvious. We thank you, O Lord, for your love and your kindness, your patience. We ask that you be with every person on our blessing list for their special needs, and everyone else with special needs. We know you are, but we also know that you are so polite, you wait to be asked. And so we ask for them. We ask for them. We come together to be their family and ask for them. We ask for the hungry. We ask for the lonely. We ask for those who feel betrayed. We ask for those who are hurting. We shall be their mouth to ask for them. But you know you've been invited, because we care about them. And we know that you will bring the ultimate blessing. All of these things we ask in your gracious and lovely, beautiful, spirit-filled name. Amen. Blessing givers, join me as I convey the blessing.
Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's your turn. Follow through. Rest. Be quiet. Be still. And be with God. Bye-bye from me for now. We'll be together next week. And we invite anyone who wants to join our prayer group, our prayer partners in the evening. Just call in, same number as the blessing call. Okay? Bye-bye.